الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad, or we ask Allah to exalt His mention and to grant Him peace, His companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We were dealing in our last session in the book of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken intimate friends. Can anyone remember who they are? Who are the intimate friends? What mahabba, ghafoor and wadood? Maybe my question wasn't clear, or you brothers are not paying attention, man. Yeah, one of the two. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad and Ibrahim. Can we say anyone else is the Khalil of Allah? Can we say anyone else? Can we give that title to anyone else?
Anyone else other than both?
Other than both of them?
No.
Never. Right? Never, really never. Why never? Who could tell me why never?
Because Muhammad is the final prophet.
Tayyib.
After there is nobody is there.
Because whatever knowledge is revealed with Muhammad, that was the final.
So there will be no more revelation.
No.
That's why.
No supporting evidence that they were called Khalil of Allah.
Right, and that's the thing. And if somebody was to make that claim, this only happens through revelation.
Yes.
And there will be no more revelation. So whatever people say, yani they saw in their dream, you hear these a lot, you get them in the emails. The Prophet ﷺ came and told them, tell my ummah, tell my whole ummah, that they should do this and they shouldn't do that. All this is nonsense. This is a claiming that they're receiving revelation, and we have new part of the deen that has come after Allah says, today I have perfected, this day I have perfected your religion for you. So we don't buy that stuff. Tayyib. We mentioned that there are a number of ways, or the Shaykh was dealing with the things we can do to attain the love of Allah in our lives. And he began by mentioning that look at the one who created you, who has bestowed his favors upon you, who's the one who's allowing the blood to flow in your veins. And he gave us a number of things that would remind us of the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second one, which is the one we'll be beginning with tonight inshallah, ومنها محبة ما يحبه الله من الأعمال القولية والفعلية والقلبية تحب الذي يحبه الله فهذا يجعلك تحب الله. The Shaykh said, and among the things you could do to attain the love of Allah is loving whatever Allah loves from deeds, whether verbal or they are action deeds, you know, things dealing with action, or qalbiya, heart-based or heart-related, things that you do with your heart, like tawakkul on Allah, loving Allah, fearing Allah, and things of this nature. تُحِبُّ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ. You love whatever Allah loves. And that will make you love Allah. That will make you love Allah. Loving whatever Allah loves. And this is very important. I don't know if the Shaykh will deal with it. So, you know, this is why you can't really love a disbeliever. You can't. Because Allah doesn't love him. And you cannot love someone that Allah doesn't love. You see, our love is in harmony, right, harmonious with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whomever Allah loves, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, he said, this is the ultimate level. This is the ultimate level. When your love and your hatred is all for the sake of Allah. You love for the sake of Allah, and you hate for the sake of Allah. You love the servants of Allah, the believers in Allah, and you hate the disbelievers in Allah, those who oppose the deen of Allah and those who fight against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your love and hatred is also associated with the love and hatred of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not love the disbelievers, clearly. And Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Verily Allah loves the pious. So Allah told us whom He loves and whom He does not love. And our love is harmonious with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لأن الله يجازيك على هذا أن يضع محبته في قلبك. Allah will reward you for that by placing His love in your heart. يعني His your love towards Him. That's what is intended. فتحب الله إذا قمت بما يحب. So you will love Allah if you fulfill what Allah loves. وكذلك تحب من يحب. Similarly, you love whomever Allah loves. And this is the part I was dealing with. والفرق بينهما ظاهر. The difference between them is evident. الأخيرة من الأشخاص والأولى من الأعمال. The latter one is individuals, loving this person and not loving this person. And the first one is deeds, loving deeds that Allah loves, doing deeds that Allah loves, and loving the deeds that Allah loves. Allah loves certain deeds, Allah loves certain places, right? Mecca is beloved to Allah. Al-Masajid, the Masajid are beloved to Allah. Things of this nature, you know, the place that Allah had made virtuous in Islam. لأننا أتينا بما التي لغير العاقل من الأعمال والأماكن والأزمان. Because we used ما, he's dealing grammatically here with the issue, which ما is for the things that not the things that don't have souls. You know, the regular like things, just whatever things, tables, books, pens, and what have you. Whereas the individuals, the human beings, and things that have souls, then they don't use it. They use he or she. This is similar to what we have in English. In English, you know, you don't call a person it.
Living things, non-living things.
Right, living things and non-living things, right. You don't call a living person it. You see what I'm saying? You don't call at the same time a table she. She's a nice table. You know, people think you're talking about something else. Hey. وهذه من العقل من الأشخاص. طيب. تحب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. تحب إبراهيم. تحب موسى وعيسى وغيرهم من الأنبياء. You love the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And you love Ibrahim. And you love Musa. And you love Isa. And others among the Prophets. تحب الصديقين. You love the truthful ones like Abu Bakr الصديق. أبي بكر والشهداء. Like Abu Bakr and the martyrs. وغير ذلك ممن يحبهم الله. And others whom Allah سبحانه وتعالى loves. فهذا يجلب لك محبة الله. This will produce for you the love of Allah. Loving the one Allah loves will make you gain the love of Allah. You love whomever Allah loves, and Allah will love you for loving the things or the deeds or the people that Allah loves. Is that clear? It's not confusing, right? Inshallah. فهذا نعم وهو أيضا من آثار محبة الله فهو سبب وآثر. And it is also a product of the love of Allah. So it is a reason and a result. It's a reason to attain the love of Allah, and it's the result of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the second thing the Shaykh mentioned. The third one, he says, وَمِنَا كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. كَثْرَة from كَثِير, abundant, a lot, many. And here, كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, abundance of remembrance of Allah. Abundantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بحيث يكون دائما على بالك. In such a way where he's always on your mind. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always on your mind. You're always thinking of Allah. حتى تكون كلما شاهدت شيئا استدللت به عليه عز وجل. So much so that anytime you see anything, you use it to establish your belief in Allah. You know, anything you see. You see the sun, so you think about Allah, subhanallah, who created the sun in this fashion. You see the moon, you think of Allah. You see a baby, how the baby moves, how the baby laughs, how the baby goes around doing his, you know, baby thing. That reminds you of Allah. Not, don't misunderstand me, the creation of Allah. You see, in the creation will remind you of the Creator. That is what I'm saying. Not anything else of the, you know, what other people may believe. Now, it's obvious. حتى يكون قلبك دائما مشغولا بالله. So much so, in such a way where your heart is always preoccupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always thinking about Allah. معرضا عن ما سواه. Not only that, turning away from everything else that may occupy that. Because your heart, our hearts are containers, and you cannot really put too many things in there. You know, Allah says in the Quran that He did not place in the heart of a man in one man two hearts. You know, in one man they cannot be two hearts. Anyways, I got some interesting email. I want to just to give you addition here. The ayah in the Quran that Allah says that Allah did not place in a man two hearts. And there was a sheikh who's known for his knowledge of the ijaz of the Quran, yani the miracles of the Quran in terms of the science and other things. So he was given lecture about that, you know, the eloquence of the Quran and how specific it is. And some man got up and said, you know, not really. The Quran has some weak statements, some weak, you know, wordings. So he said, like what? He said, for example, this ayah. How come the ayah says that Allah does not place in a man only two hearts? Why doesn't it mention a woman? Why doesn't it say human being? Allah did not place in a human being two hearts. Why a man? You know, this is weak using only a man, although the meaning could be more abundant. And so they say that the Shaykh had never thought of that, and he sat for a moment thinking, and then subhanallah, Allahu a'lam, yani he got this refutation. He said, well, if a woman, it cannot be applicable to the woman, because when she gets pregnant, she does have two hearts. And that's not the case with the men. So now the word man is the most befitting word. You cannot use human being, because a woman, that verse would not apply. Allah says He never placed two hearts in a human, and a woman will have two hearts, her heart and a heart of her child. So it's like, oh, so that was really like, it was just, I mean, yeah, you know, you feel like,
yes.
I don't know, I don't remember his name. Just it's an old, in the Arab world, this is all in the Arab world. I don't know who the Shaykh is.
Can more than two also, twins.
Yeah, and so forth. But yeah, the idea was, you would never think of that, subhanAllah, but mashallah, you know. Hey. Al-Muhim, we're getting off, so this is my fault. But I thought that was worthy of being shared. Naam. So your heart can only accommodate, then we said one. Either you're going to be occupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of thinking of His greatness and loving Him and doing things that please Him, or you're going to be occupied with other things. And they don't usually live with one another in the same heart. فَهَذَا يَجْبُ لَكَ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Anyways, this remembrance of Allah abundantly will also bring about the love of Allah, the Exalted. The Shaykh said, نعم.
What is this surah reference in that two hearts?
I'll get it to you later, inshallah. وهذه الأسباب الثلاثة هي عندي من أقوى أسباب محبة الله عز وجل. The Shaykh said, and these three reasons to me are among the strongest reasons that produce or bring about the love of Allah. You remember them? I'll remind you of them. The first one is looking at your creation, and then realizing who created you, who sustained you, who's taking care of you, and things of this nature. And actually, I was just thinking of this on the way here. I was driving my car, and I have a stick shift. You know, you have to, you know, step on the clutch in order to change gears. And then I was on the phone. I was busy with something. And then I realized that sometimes, you know, your mind is busy with something else. I was scratching my foot, actually. The left one with the right one. The right one with the left one. Then I realized, what if we suddenly had no control of our brain in some little things, where instead of stepping on the brakes, and I was coming to a light, you step on the gas. You see what I'm saying? You'll be thinking about a million things, you know, and you're but we are being guided by Allah, and we have no power here. If Allah willed, you will lose your mind and you will step on the gas instead of a brake, and you hit the car in front of you and you're gone. But subhanAllah, your mind, you know, Allah protects us in such a way where you don't do that. How often do you drive? When was the last time you stepped on gas instead of the brake? Maybe never. Maybe when you were a kid, back before you learned how to drive. Now, it doesn't happen. You naturally, you know, move your feet and the clutch and everything without really thinking. It doesn't require any thought. Who's allowing you to function in this way? It is Allah. But mercy from Allah. If you let His creation go for a split second, there'll be chaos, man. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not maintain a creation in this fashion, then you will not even believe what the people do. Somebody will lose his mind, kill the family, kill his neighbors. It still happens with people, but imagine if this was the case with everyone. You know, we will be in some strange world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintaining His creation in such a way where we are able to, you know, survive. Otherwise, you have no control over your brain. If Allah wishes, it will go away, and you will have no thoughts, no ideas, no way of thinking. So that's why we always praise Allah for whatever He gives us, because it is from Allah, not something special about you. You know, because you know, if Allah willed, you will have nothing going on. So then the first one is remembering that. Secondly, the Shaykh said then, doing the things that Allah loves, whether they are actions or they are statements or they are heart things related to actions of the heart. And lastly, remembering Allah abundantly. طيب. السؤال الثاني ما هي الآثار المسلكية التي يستلزمها ما ذكر. The second question is, what are the practical benefits that are necessitated by that which was mentioned? If I understand him correctly. أولا قوله أيوة نعم وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين. Now the Shaykh will go back to the first verse that we quoted in the ayat or the verses dealing with محبة love. And do good, truly Allah loves those who do good or the good doers. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 195, you all know that already. يقتضي أن نحسن وأن نحرص على الإحسان لأن الله يحبه أو يحبه وكل شيء يحبه الله فإننا نحرص عليه. First, that entails that we should do good and we should be keen on doing good, on being in the state of ihsan, because Allah loves that. And anything that Allah loves, we should be keen on fulfilling. ثانيا قوله وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين. And be and do act justly. Indeed or verily or truly Allah loves those who act justly. الحجرات verse 9. يقتدي أن نعدل ونحرص على العدل. This entails that we should be just and we should strive and be keen on also dealing with justice. ثالثا قوله إن الله يحب المتقين. Verily Allah loves the pious. سورة التوبة verse 7. يقتدي أن نتقي الله عز وجل لا نتقي المخلوقين. That entails that you have taqwa of Allah and not taqwa of the creation of Allah, which is a very common problem that Muslims suffer from in this day and time, where they are afraid of the kafil and they are afraid of the boss at work and they are afraid of the neighbor and afraid of the imam of the masjid, afraid of everyone in the world except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone, even their children. If the child wants something, even if it's haram, he's afraid that if he goes home, his son will, you know, will scream at him or will become upset with him. So he will fear his son, although he's supposed to fear Allah and educate his son. So this is a calamity that we suffer from. Allah musta'an. بحيث إذا كان عندنا من نستحي منه من الناس تركنا المعاصي وإذا لم يكن عصينا. Allah musta'an. How do we know that? If each one of us wants to get his own self-evaluation, then you'll see. You'll see that probably we will all fail in this aspect. How do you know? If people are over at your house, you'll be too ashamed, or too shy to disobey. But when they leave, ala tul. Yani, you're browsing the internet, and there's some filthy websites, or something that you're not supposed to see, you know what I'm saying? And if somebody was over, you, one of the brothers, you know, the your brother, your teacher, or something like that, are you going to be? You won't even open the page. As soon as you see something that may be suspicious, Allah told you close it. Why? Come on, man. You know the brother's there. But if you are by yourself, huh? Well, let me see what it is first before I close it. Maybe I give him da'wah. Maybe I will send him an email and advise him to remove these pictures. After what? After we have already, you know what I'm saying. So isn't it, I mean, this is us. Allah musta'an. This is our condition. Except those whom Allah has bestowed His mercy upon. And maybe some of us are more extreme in this fashion than others. I mean, of course we may fall into weaknesses at times. But some people, this is their daily life. Yeah, in front of people, he's Shaykh al-Islam. And when people leave, don't even ask about what goes on. So Allah musta'an, yani this is a na'am. فَتَقْوَى أَنَّ تَقِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So taqwa is that we have taqwa of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. وَلَا يَهُمُّكَ النَّاسِ. Don't even bother about people. Don't even care about people. أَصْلِحْ مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ يُصْلِحُ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Rectify that which is between you and Allah, and Allah will rectify that which is between you and the people. You fix your relationship with Allah, Allah will fix your relationship with His creation. At least those who deserve it. Some will oppose you, because they hate the goodness or righteousness or whatever they criticize and things of this nature, then you don't worry about those people. But the good people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify your condition with them if you rectify your condition with Him. So the Shaykh said, انظر يا أخي إلى الشيء الذي بينك وبين ربك. He said, look my brother to that which is between you and your Lord. Look my brother to that which is between you and your Lord. وَلَا يَهُمُّكَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And don't bother. Don't even be concerned about anything other than that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Surah Al-Hajj, verse 38. Verily Allah defends those who believe. Allah defends them, those who believe. Allah will defend you. اِفْعَلْ مَا يَقْتَدِيهِ الشَّرْعُ وَسَتَكُونُ لَكَ الْعَاقِبَةُ. Do what the legislation requires of you and you will have the good end. Do what Allah commanded you to do and you will be the victorious one. The good end will be for you. Sooner or later, either in the dunya, you will get what is expected, or in the hereafter. And of course, both are also possible. You may get both, of course. If you get the dunya, then inshallah you will also get the akhirah. But the idea is, don't bother about the people. People are weird. Did I tell you about the story about the man and the son and the donkey? Come on. Yeah, I did. I'll repeat it for those who haven't heard it before. There was a man, a father, and a son, and a donkey. And they were, you know, going by. The father was riding on the donkey. The son was walking next to him. And, you know, they went by a town. And so when they went by the town, the people of the town, they looked at these people and said, man, this is... what is this father, man? A heartless, ruthless, insensitive father. Big man, mashallah, still shabab. You're riding on a donkey. You let your poor son walk on the, you know, on the hot sand. You know, it's not befitting. So they heard them. They overheard them. So they said, come on, man, let's switch around. So he put his son on the donkey. Waalaikum salam. And he started walking. Tayyib? Waalaikum salam. Rahmatullah ahlan. They went by another town. And when they went by the other town, they looked at them and they said, this son is undutiful to his father. You know, you're still a young man, you can handle it. This is your old father, man. You're supposed to honor him and respect him. How do you let him walk on the hot sand and you're riding on the donkey? So they heard them and said, listen, it's not going to work out. Why don't we both ride on the donkey? Say, come on, man, let's both ride on the donkey. Khalas ba. Hey, what are the people going to say? They went by a third time. They said, these people have no mercy on the animal. No mercy. Two people on the donkey, man, the donkey can't handle it. So then they said, okay, man, get off the donkey, man, let the donkey walk on his own. Now we both walk on the sand. So they cannot say that one of us is bad. The donkey, yeah. So then they went by the fourth time. They said, these people are stupid. Allah gives them a donkey to ride and they walk with the donkey. So what is the other option? They carry the donkey. And then they walk. So what the idea is this, the ibra they say from this story, you can never please people. Akhi, people have weird, different views and perspectives. Everyone sees it from his own angle. So then if you're going to worry about pleasing, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry, as they say, you're never going to get there. So then you please Allah. Udbagi, as they say, khalli walli. This is the most perfect term for this really, for this reality. Khalli walli. You don't like it? Big doors, big gates, big oceans, go swim, drown, do whatever you want. I don't care. Really, that's our attitude. I don't care. I'm doing this for Allah. And this is what Allah commanded of me. If you like it, hayyak Allah, tfaddal, we'll have good coffee with each other and we could both do it. You don't like it, hit the road, Jack. Ma'a salama. Go your way, I go my way. I'm not going to change or leave alone what Allah commanded me to do so you could be happy. And you know this from your own house. Your mother likes something, your father likes something, and you sit, you get a haircut. Same thing, you go home, your mother says, oh, I like this on you. Your father said, don't ever get this haircut again. And your sister says, well, let me tell you, blah, blah, blah. You never get by. Even a haircut, you can never please everyone. So then you just, you know, you get your own haircut, the way you like it, and then the rest can get to, well, in case of your parents, you have to obey your parents and get the haircut that they like. But I don't think if they get involved in this extent nowadays that you're, mashallah, 50, 60 years old, I don't think anyone will tell you how to get a haircut.
What verse in the surah has
Surah 38. Now. Rabi'an, يقول الله تعالى, إن الله يحب التوابين. So now the Shaykh is going over all the verses. Fourthly, Allah says, verily Allah loves those who are repentive. but not just repentive, often. We said abundantly repenting to Allah, right? Surah Al-Baqarah verse 222, وهذه تستوجب أن أكثر التوبة إلى الله عز وجل. This necessitates that I continuously and abundantly repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أكثر أن أرجع إلى الله بقلبي وقالبي. I often return to Allah both in my heart and in my body. Qalib is that container. So we submit to Allah and return to Allah in terms of our heart and in terms of our physical appearance, also part of the tawbah. وَمُجَرَّدْ قَوْلُ الْإِنسَانِ أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ هَذَا قَدْ لَا يَنْفَعْ. The mere statement of the person saying, I repent to Allah, this may be of no benefit. Just to say, I repent to Allah without doing anything about it. لَكِنْ تَسْتَحْذِرُ وَأَنْتَ تَقُولُ أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ مَعَاصِي. Rather, you bring to mind while you are saying, I repent to Allah, the sins that you have committed between your hands, yani the sins that you have put forth, that's what is intended. You bring them to mind, the many sins that you've committed, then you say, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. You see, then you seek forgiveness and you repent to Allah when you have the sins in mind. Now when you're not even thinking about them and you say, Atubu ilallah, that's going to be of no benefit. تَرْجُعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهَا وَتَتُوبُ. So you return to Allah from these sins and you repent. حَتَّى تَنَالَ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ. Until you attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. The continuation of the same verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. And Allah loves those who purify themselves. The Shaykh said, إِذَا غَسَلْتَ ثَوْبَكَ مِنَ النَّجَاسَةِ تُحِسُّ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَبَّكَ. If you clean your clothing from impurity, then you should feel and bring to mind that Allah is loving you at that very moment. Yani, if some urine came on your clothing for whatever reason, okay, while you are washing it off, you are actually attaining the love of Allah, because Allah says وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who purify themselves, and this is a form of purification. So the very act of washing yourself in order to cleanse it from impurity is an act of worship that will bring about the love of Allah. But when was the last time we thought of it this way? Maybe never. Now, the Shaykh said, and he will mention that, لأن الله يحب المتطهرين, because Allah loves those who purify themselves. إذا توضأت تحس بأن الله أحبك. If you make wudu, ablution, then you also feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving you. لِأَنَّكَ تَطَهَّرْتْ, because you have purified yourself. إِذَا اغْتَسَلْتْ غُسُلْ, the one that you do after the major impurity, after having a relation with one's spouse. تُحِسُّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَبَّكْ, you also feel that Allah has loved you. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ, because Allah loves those who purify themselves. And the Shaykh said, and this is the Shaykh saying, وَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّنَا لَغَافِلُونَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَعَانِي. By Allah, we are heedless about these facts. We are absent-minded about these facts. Maybe we never think that. You just make wudu, you know, do the whole nine yards. Yalla, ala tul. You never think that this is an act of worship. You're doing purification. You're attaining the love of Allah. You're imitating the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, there are a number of things, a lot of acts of worship that are both intellectual and physical, involved, alaykum salam, directly involved with the very act of wudu. But as the Shaykh said, we are absent-minded. We are heedless about these facts. أكثر ما نستعمل الطهارة من النجاسة أو من الأحداث لأنها شرط لصحة الصلاة. The only reason why we purify our thawb, our clothing, or we purify ourselves for wudu is because we know it's the condition for the salah. No salah without wudu. That's it. خوفا من أن تفسد صلاتنا. We are afraid that our salah will become invalid. لكن يغيب عنا كثيرا أن نشعر بأن هذا قربة وسبب لمحبة الله لنا. But we often are heedless and we are not absent-minded or about the fact that this is a means of getting close to Allah. This act of worship is a means of getting near to Allah and a reason to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لو كنا نعم لو كنا نستحضر عندما يغسل الإنسان نقطة بول أصاب الثوب وأن ذلك يجب محبة الله له لحصلنا خيرا كثيرا لكننا في غفلة. The Shaykh said, if one of us brings to mind while he's washing a drop of urine that may fall on his clothes, while he's washing it off, that this act brings about the love of Allah, then verily we will attain an abundance of goodness. We will have a lot of good, but we are in a state of heedlessness. We are heedless. this is the fourth one. نعم. The fifth one is it? نعم. قوله قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Everybody knows that. Where is it? Verse 31. Hey, say if you love Allah, really love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you and He will forgive you your sins. هذا أيضا يستوجب أن نحرص غاية الحرص على اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بحيث نترسم طريقة لا نخرج منه ولا نقصر عنه ولا نزيد ولا ننقص أو ننقص. He said this also necessitates that we become keen on following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in such a way where we try to follow his footsteps. Okay, we don't go beyond that, we don't go off track. This is the track that he had traveled upon, and then you go right behind him, not to the left, not to the right, and certainly not through the shortcuts that the people try to give you today. You know, come from this way, you will get there ala tul, and you get out to Jahannam ala tul, as it comes in a hadith, because in the head of each one, those other ways is a shaitan calling to himself. You know, and the ummah will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire, except those who follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, without swerving. Just like you drive in a car. If you're driving a street, a one-lane street, okay, on a bridge, and that bridge doesn't have any partition or anything on the sides. Yani, you cannot, and your car is just barely fitting. Your wheels are just parallel to the actual road, in such a way where you have to just drive like this. If you turn a little bit to the right, a little bit to the left, ala tul, you will fall off the bridge and you will crash. So then you have to just go behind. Cannot play around with this stuff. A. So the Sheikh said, and so we don't go off road. We don't have any shortcomings. We do not add anything, nor do we delete. You don't add anything to the way of the Prophet ﷺ by innovating into his deen, and you don't take out something that he had established عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Shaykh said, وَشُعُورُنَا هَذَا يَحْمِينَ مِنَ الْبِدْعِ. This particular feeling, if we bring this feeling to mind, that will protect us from innovations. وَيَحْمِينَ مِنَ التَّقْصِيرِ, and it will protect us from shortcomings. وَيَحْمِينَ مِنَ الزِّيَادَةِ وَالْغُلُوِ, and it will protect us from adding things and extremism, غلو being extreme. ولو أننا نشعر بهذه الأمور فانظر كيف يكون سلوكنا وآدابنا يكون سلوكنا وآدابنا وأخلاقنا وعبادتنا. If we were to bring these ideas to mind, then just look at how our behavior, our conduct would be, our etiquettes, our be, you know, نعم آداب أخلاقنا, our character, وعبادتنا, and our acts of worship. If we were to bring that to mind, that we will not go off road, we will not add, we will not delete, then we will be fine. And you know, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians and every other religion on earth, the very point of diversion from the main road, from the main path, was innovation. Jesus became God through innovations, and He became the Son of God through innovations, and Mary became the Mother of God through innovation, and everything that they have today is innovations that were not taught by the messenger himself, Jesus, peace be upon him. He never recommended these particular acts of worship to his people. They innovated them afterwards, and then the whole religion became void and corrupt, unacceptable in the sight of Allah because of their innovations. So don't belittle the innovation, because it will lead to other things. It begins as small and it will continue to grow and grow until it becomes major. And you know, this is really why we need to be mindful of the fact that we stick to the sunnah regardless of what the people do in this day and time. سادسا قوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 54. O you who believe, whoever from among you turn back from his religion, Allah will bring a people whom he will love, and they will love him. نحذر به من الردة عن الإسلام. This ayah, the practical benefit is that we become cautious of apostating and leaving Islam after being guided to Islam, because Islam is not a trial, a kind of religion. like somebody we know will be a Buddhist, for example, or a Hindu, and he will try Buddhism, he doesn't like it. He will try, you know, atheism, he doesn't like it. He just jump around with religions. Islam, you cannot play around like that with Islam, where you come and leave. You see what I'm saying? You either come because you're convinced, or you leave it alone. There's no coming and going, because, you know, this will create problems for yourself and for the people around you, and you will become detested in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah will replace such an individual and bring about people whom Allah loves. So Islam is a serious commitment with Allah. It's not like an organization. It's not just some institute that you join, or a club that you become a member of, and then whenever you're sick and tired of it, you just withdraw your membership, say, I don't want to be part of it anymore. You see what I'm saying? This is a commitment with Allah. This is, you know, fulfilling the objective of life. So we must strive to remain within Islam and not do anything that will take us outside of Islam. So that means we have to learn and educate ourselves, because the only way you will enter paradise is with Islam. That's the only key. I mean, if you leave, it's your loss. You lost. The person, he is the one who will be losing. What will happen to him on the Day of Judgment when he had left Islam? Allah musta'an. So this is يعني, what the Shaykh mentioned. أَلَّتِ مِنْهَا تَرْكُ الصَّلَةَ مثلا. An example of being careful of not leaving Islam is abandoning the prayer. If you stop doing Salah for whatever reason. فَإِذَا عَلِمْنَا and whatever reason, I mean, whether you're lazy or you're tired or whatever things that the people have as excuses, all of these are equal according to the correct opinion of the scholars, that the one who abandons the Salah, doesn't pray, whether it be not just the one who doesn't believe that Salah is something obligatory in Islam, even the one who is lazy, then he is leaving Islam if he doesn't want to pray anymore. Yeah, that's the opinion that is based on the Quranic verses, the prophetic traditions, and this is a whole other discussion right now. فإذا علمنا أن الله يهددنا بأننا إن ارتددنا عن ديننا أهلكنا الله وأتى بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه ويقومون بواجبهم نحو ربهم فإننا نلازم طاعة الله والابتعاد عن كل ما يقرب للردة. The Shaykh said, if we know then that Allah is threatening us, that if we were to apostate from His religion, then He will replace us with another group of people whom He will love and they will love Him, which are the reverts that we have in this day and time, then we will strive to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will strive as Muslims, those who were born into Islam. Those of you who were born into Islam, you know, if you don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to replace you with a new Muslim who will be far better than you, then you must strive to do what Allah wants you to do. Because the ayah says that if you don't, then Allah will bring other people who will love Islam, propagate Islam, and you see them on TV, you see them on, you know, you see them, mashallah, he was a revert 5 years ago, and now he's given da'wah, given lectures, and he's already learned half of the deen in a short period of time. So we find most of the du'at predominantly are reverts. Right? Or those who I'm talking about on international level, those who are, you know, addressing the world, not just a particular group, they are reverts. And the born Muslims, you know, maybe taking a nap. So, you know, we need to realize that we must wake up and, you know, live up for the task so we can earn that particular honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His righteous servants. So we will maintain the obedience of Allah, and we will stay away from anything that will get us close to apostasy. You know, we don't want no apostasy. We want to die upon Muslim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh, you who believe, have taqwa of Allah the way He deserves it, and do not die except as Muslims. Don't leave before you die. If you leave before you die, it will be regret. You know, so we want to stay within Islam until you pass away. Then inshallah you're guaranteed Jannah at some point, sooner or later in your life. سابعاً قوله إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص. سورة الصف, verse 4. Verily Allah loves those who fight in His cause in rows or ranks as if they were a solid structure. إِذَا أَمَنَّا بِهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ فَعَلْنَا هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْخَمْسَ الَّتِي تَسْتَلْزِمُهَا وَتُوجِبُهَا. If we believe in this love that Allah has promised, then we will do these five things that will produce this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-qital, fighting. وعدم التواني, not being lazy. والإخلاص, sincerity. بأن يكون في سبيل الله, that you do it for the sake of Allah. أن يشد بعضنا بعضا كأننا بنيان, that we aid one another as if we are one solid structure. وأن نحكم الرابط بيننا إحكاما قويا كالبنيان المرصوص, and that we make it in such a way where, you know, there's no gaps like a strong solid structure. النصف وهذا يقتضي التساوي حسا, that we are in rows, and that entails that we should also be equal يعني within in our hearts. Our hearts should not differ. So our body should not differ, that means our heart should not differ either. حتى لا تختلف القلوب, so the hearts will not differ. وهو مما يؤكد الألفة, and that يعني that is an indication that we must keep that harmony between the Muslims, that harmony, that love. والإنسان إذا رأى واحدا عن يمينه واحدا عن يساره يقوى على الإقدام. If you were to look at your right and find someone, and look at your left and you find another person, that will encourage you to move forward rather than being by yourself. لكن لو يحيطون به من جميع الجوانب فستشتد همته. But if they were to surround him from every place, then that will even be يعني more of a reason for him to strive. طيب, so of course we're dealing with the context of the Muslims fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Muslims are being attacked, the Muslims are being persecuted, the Muslims are being humiliated by the disbelievers, you don't sit back and watch, rather you rise for the occasions, those who are qualified to do so. And of course it requires, for jihad to be established, it requires a lot of conditions, and so you have to read this back in the books of fiqh. We're not trying to initiate anything, but this is part of our deen that we will not deny, and we cannot deny, and we don't even have to. This is a fact that Allah has given us, and we are honored by any legislation given by Allah, but it has rules and conditions that the Muslims abide by that are not found in any other religion or any other country or any other nationality of the various countries today, such as killing women, it's a no-no in Islam. Killing children, no-no in Islam. Destroying a house, you cannot do that. Cutting a tree, you cannot do that. Killing an animal, you cannot do that. All these are no-no in Islam. But every other country in the world, they do all that. They kill the innocent and the guilty. They make no distinction between a man and a woman, and an older person, a younger person. Everybody goes, you see. They drop a bomb and whatever happens, happens. You can't do that in Islam. See, it's restricted to the people on the battlefield. You see, and it's not fighting for land. It's not fighting for to be praised. It's fighting for the deen of Allah to be protected and to be maintained, so everybody will get the chance to enter into Islam. Otherwise the disbelievers, as they are working today, they will eliminate us. They will exterminate Islam and Muslims from the face of the planet if this was not legislated. If the Muslims were to turn the other cheek, there'll be no more Afghanistan. A long time ago, how long they've been trying to hit Afghanistan? Many years. There'll be no more Iraq. There'll be no more Philippines, the brothers in Mindanao. Everybody would have been wiped out long time ago if they didn't fight for their right that Allah has given them. So this particular, yarhamukallah, this jihad then that Allah has given us is means of maintenance for the Muslims. So this is what Allah has given us. And of course we said if anybody has a problem with that, we will show them from the Bible hundreds of verses about violence and killing animals and the ox and the donkeys and not leaving anyone alive except virgin girls. That's what supposedly Moses was commanded. That's what he did. He entered upon the towns, he killed everybody, and they left for them, I don't know how many were left. It turned out to be some 3,000 virgin girls or something like that.
37,000.
Huh?
37,000.
37,000 virgin girls. I don't remember the exact quotation of the verse. Yeah. So that's, so if they have a problem, that say, listen man, you deal with that first and come talk to me. طيب. فصار في هذه الآية ثلاث مباحث. ثلاثة مباحث: إثبات المحبة بالأدلة السمعية، أسبابها والآثار المسلكية في الإيمان بها. So in these ayat we have three different discourses or discussions. The first one is establishing and affirming the quality of love of Allah through textual evidences, and it's known as الأدلة السمعية. And the reason why it's called السمعية because you hear it and you hear the textual evidence, because you may be blind. You cannot read, but it's hearing usually that was common before things were written down. The Quran, before it was written down during the Prophet's time, right? It was through audio only. So that's adilla sam'iyya, which is known as an-nas, يعني the textual evidence, an-nas. Asbabuha, the reasons for that. Al-athar al-maslakiyya fi liman biha, the practical benefit from believing in the quality of love. So we have, how do we establish it? Through the textual evidence. What to do in order to attain the love of Allah, and what are the practical benefits of having the quality of love or benefiting from the quality of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, أَمَّا أَهْلُ الْبِدَعِ الَّذِينَ أَنْكَرُوهَا فَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُمْ إِلَّا حُجَّةٌ وَهِيَ يَقُولُونَ. As for the people of innovation who deny the quality of love, you have among the mubtadi'a, those who say that you cannot say that Allah loves. Okay? Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, but they tell you no. No, you cannot say that. The Shaykh said they only have a very weak evidence, very weak proof. They say, أَوَّلًا إِنَّ الْعَقْلَ لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهَا. First they say, look man, my mind doesn't allow me to believe that Allah loves. You know, this, my mind is, doesn't reject that. ثَانِيًا إِنَّ الْمَحَبَّةَ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ مُتَجَانِسَيْنِ لَا تَكُونُ بَيْنَ رَبْ وَمَخْلُوقَ أَبَدًا. They said, love is only something that occurs between things of the same kind, same species. Okay? يعني the, you know, human beings love human beings, things of this nature, the creation, there must be two equal things, but it can never be between the creator and the creation. That's what they're saying. وَلَا بَأْسَ أَن تَكُونَ بَيْنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. And they say there's no harm that love is something that is available between the creation, but you cannot say that because the creation is unlike the creator, and the creation only are those who may have love, so then there cannot be love, any love between the creator and the creation. نجيبهم ونحن نرد عليهم فنقول. We will refute them by saying, نجيبكم عن الأول وهو أن العقل لا يدل عليها بجوابين. Regarding your statement that the mind does not indicate that, it doesn't accept the fact that Allah loves, he said, we will give you two answers. أحدهما بالتسليم والثاني بالمنع. The first one is by submission and the third one by, the second one is by preventing. التسليم نقول سلمنا أن العقل لا يدل على المحبة. Let's say we agree with you, just for the sake of argument, we agree with you that the mind does not indicate that Allah has the quality of love. فَالسَّمْعُ دَلَّ عَلَيْهَا. The textual evidence indicates it though. Let's say the mind doesn't indicate it, but the textual evidence, as the ayat we just quoted, do so. وَهُوَ دَلِيلٌ قَيْمٌ بِنَفْسِهِ. And it is an evidence that is established in and within itself. It doesn't need any outside support. Whether your mind accepts or not, we don't care, really. Because Allah says in the Quran that He does that, He loves, case closed. Right? Your mind, set it aside. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ جَلَّ يَقُولُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nahl, verse 89, and we have sent down to you the book, the Quran, as an exposition or clarification of everything. The Quran is a clarification of everything. That's number one. فَإِذَا كَانَ تِبْيَانًا فَهُوَ دَلِيلٌ قَائِمٌ بِنَفْسِهِ. So if the Quran is means of clarification, then it is an evidence in and within itself. Because it clarifies the concept that Allah loves, per the verse in the Quran. وَانْتِفَاءُ الدَّلِيلِ الْمُعَيَّنِ. And the absence of the evidence, or وَانْتِفَاءُ الدَّلِيلِ الْمُعَيَّنِ, I don't know what he means by that. Anyways, لَا يَلْزِمُ مِنْهُ انْتِفَاءُ الْمَدْلُولِ. Oh, hold on, this is part of that sentence. وانتفاء الدليل المعين لا يلزم منه انتفاء المدلول. لأن المدلول قد يكون له أدلة متعددة سواء الحسيات أو المعنويات. Okay, نعم. So the Shaykh said, and the absence of a particular evidence, the absence of a particular evidence, or the negation of a particular evidence, does not necessitate that what it indicates is not there. We will see. What the Shaykh would give us some examples so you'll understand. I know sometimes translating it directly doesn't make sense, not even to myself. But we will see, inshallah. لأن المدلول قد يكون له أدلة متعددة سواء الحسيات أو المعنويات. Because that which is indicated, listen to me, that which is being indicated, what we're trying to prove, may have a number of evidences to prove it, whether they are tangible things or abstract. حسيات, tangible things. Abstract, معنويات, things that you cannot touch. Untangible, I believe. أو intangible, نعم. فالحسيات مثل بلد له عدة طرق توصل إليه. فإذا انسد طريق ذهبنا مع الطريق الثاني. For the tangible things, it is like a country or a place, a land, which has a number of ways that lead to it. If one way is closed, then we take another one. طيب. أما المعنويات فكم من حكم واحد له عدة أدلة وجوب الطهارة للصلاة مثلا فيه أدلة متعددة. As for the abstract things, he says, how often does one evidence, one ruling, has so many different evidences. One ruling has a number of evidences. For example, the tahara for the salah, purification for the salah, has many different evidences. We have some from the Quran, many narrations of the Prophet ﷺ that deal with how to purify yourself for the salah. So it is only one ruling that has many evidences. فإذا إذا قلتم أن العقل لا يدل على إثبات المحبة بين الخالق والمخلوق فإن السمع يدل عليه بأجل دليل وأوضح بيان. So if you say that your mind does not or cannot prove or affirm the quality of love between the creator and the creation, then verily the textual evidences have indicated that in the most clear and obvious way, where we quoted how many, 9 verses altogether dealing with the quality of love. That you cannot deny that anymore. You know, one ruling has so many different evidences trying to prove it. If your mind doesn't accept it, look at all these. You know, look at all these. That's what is, I believe, what the Shaykh is trying to send across. Wallahu ta'ala alam. الجواب الثاني المنع أن نمنع دعوة أن العقل لا يدل عليها ونقول بل العقل دل على إثبات المحبة بين الخالق والمخلوق كما سبق. The second way to deal with it, we say, we will reject that. We will reject this idea that the mind doesn't indicate it. Rather, the mind does indicate it, that there could be love between the creator and the creation, as we mentioned earlier. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُكُمْ إِنَّ الْمَحَبَّةَ لَا تَكُونُ إِلَّا بَيْنَ مُتَجَانِسَيْنِ فَيَكْفِي أَن نَقُولَ لَا قَبُولَ لِدَعْوَاكُمْ. As for you claim that love can only be established with things that are alike, you know, from the same nature, things of the same nature or essence, he says that we will just say, we will reject this claim of yours. لِأَنَّ الْمَنْعَ كَافْ فِي رَدِّ الْحُجَّةِ. Because that which we mentioned earlier, the fact that the mind indicates it, is enough to refute that particular statement of yours. إِنَّ الْأَصْلِ عَدَمِ الثُّبُوتِ. Because the principle is the thing is not established unless you have an evidence which establishes it. فَنَقُولْ دَعْوَاكُمْ أَنَّهَا لَا تَكُونْ إِلَّا بَيْنَ مُتَجَانِسَيْنِ مَمْنُوعٍ. So your claim that it cannot be between two, between things that are not of the same essence is rejected. Why? Because Allah told us that He loves. And Allah is a different essence of the creation. So this claim of yours is negating the statement of Allah. So which one do we accept? The statement of Allah. If Allah says that He loves the pious, طيب, and they're saying, look, it's impossible that things of different essence will love one another. The only things that can love one another are things of the same nature. طيب. But that claim is objecting to the ayah in the Quran, or the ayat in the Quran, where Allah says that He loves His creation, and we know that they're not of the same essence. So that is refutation in and within itself. بَلْ هِيَ تَكُونُ بَيْنَ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِسَيْنِ. Rather, it is established between things of different essences or nature. فَالْإِنسَانُ عِنْدَهُ سَاعَةٌ قَدِيمَةٌ مَا أَتْعَبَتْهُ بِالصِّيَانَةِ وَمَا فَسَدَتْ عَلَيْهِ قَطْ فَتَجِدُهُ يُحِبُّهَا. He says a man will have a watch, you know, that he's had, an old watch that never gave him a hard time in maintenance. You know, he never had to take it to get it fixed. He loves it. He will love it. وَعَنْدَهُ سَاعَةَ تَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ نُصْفُ وَقْتَ فِي التَّصْلِيحِ. And he has another time, another watch, he spends half of his time trying to get it fixed. You know, taking it from one sa'ati to another. فَتَجِدُهُ يُبْغِضُهَا. You find he hates it. You know, يُبْغِضُهَا. وَأَيَّنَّ نَجِدْ أَنَّ الْبَهَائِمَ تُحِبُّ وَتُحَبُّ. And even the animals, we find that they love, and they are loved. You love a horse, you love a cat, you know, you love things of this nature. نعم. You don't love pigs, right? There's an outbreak now in Mexico. Yeah. And the United States, pigs, swine carrying disease that has killed 68 people in Mexico and so far 8 in the United States, and they're trying, they're closing schools, closing places down, and they say it's a disease that is only carried by pigs. Subhanallah. And Allah told us in the Quran it's najis, it's dirty, it's a filthy animal from way back. And people argue, why you don't eat pig? This is why we eat pig. Subhanallah. Now look, it's manifesting. Even looking at him is repulsive. You just look at him, a'udhu billah. But anyways, look at the now manifestation. Now they're seeing. 68 people died from eating.
Not only that, pig has some bombs, you know, for tape bomb.
That don't die.
Yeah,
this is known. This is known, but they always try to say, well, this is theory, something along these lines. Now this is life. People are dying. Hey, subhanallah. Al-Muhim. فَنَحْنُ وَلَا الْحَمْدُ نُثْبِتُ لِلَّهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ. He says, we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, and all praises due to Allah, we affirm the quality of love for Allah between Himself and His creation. So we believe that Allah loves, as we have dealt with earlier, unlike those who may reject that. And inshallah, our next discussion will be with the Sifatul Rahmah, the quality of mercy. And we'll be dealing with the verses that deal with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will be a very interesting inshallah discussion bi'idhnillah. هذا والله تعالى عالم. And whatever was correct was from my was from tawfiq or success given by Allah. Whatever was wrong or an error was done by myself and the shaitan, and Allah and His Messenger are innocent from it. And وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.